When it's hockey, it's on The Big Show. Steinberg, Kerr, Sportsnet 960, Calgary.
Coming up this hour, we're going to hook up with Mark Crawford, talk some coaching, talk some Austin Matthews with him. Cassie Campbell-Pascal is going to join us, of course, from Sportsnet, the most decorated captain in Team Canada history, by the way. I'll throw that out. Love talking to Cassie. We'll talk some playoffs, and she's up to some great stuff. Also, Murray Sigler from Sport Calgary is going to stop by. Murray, the executive director there, but he's also writing in the newspaper. Had an op-ed piece yesterday in the Calgary Herald about our city's need for a field house. And I think that goes without saying. Of course, that's part of the conversation around Calgary next. So we're pleased to have Murray joining us. And we are live today at South Street Burger Company. Come on down 17th Avenue Southeast on Stoney Trail. You'll see it. It's a brand new big power center. A beautiful new location. You can grab something to drink. You can grab a burger. They'll make it your way in case you want to maybe make everybody at home happy. You can pick up some and take it home. That's always fun, right? Everybody likes a great made burger and not expecting it. You bring it home, you surprise them with it. Everybody will love that. So come on down. And as well, want to thank Brian and the gang here who are today matching all of their sales and are going to make that matching donation to the Red Cross and benefit the support and support the fundraising efforts for Fort McMurray. So thanks to Brian and his gang for doing that. And while we're on that subject, I will just remind you here at Rogers, here at Sportsnet, we're also encouraging if you want to make a $10 donation, just to text the word FIRES, F-I-R-E-S, to 45678. That's FIRES, F-I-R-E-S, to 45678. And you can make a $10 donation to help out the Red Cross. You can visit mymcmurray.com for updates and information as it happens. Top of the hour, we go to Toronto for the Blue Jays and the Texas Rangers. And after that, we will join the San Jose Sharks and the Nashville Predators in progress. Tomorrow, we are going to be at Woodridge Ford, of course, part of the Wood Auto Group. And they are a drop-off location for the Commerce Sports Equipment Bank and Kids Sports. So if you have some gently used equipment, I saw Woodridge already put out a tweet. They're trying to fill up an F-150. Bring in the used equipment. It will get donated and given to the Comrie Sports Equipment Bank. They will clean it up. And through Kids Sport, they'll make sure it gets into the hands of kids who can use it. And I'm happy that we have Comrie Sports Equipment Bank, and I'm happy that we have Kids Sport. What I'm not happy about is the amount of need there is out there right now. So it is kind of vital that we continue to collect sporting equipment, because kids, regardless of financial situation, should never be kept out of sport. I think that kind of goes without saying. As we look back on a day that's been very interesting around the National Hockey League, to say the least, as you get close to the two playoff games, the Coyotes, as we talked about with Chris Johnson just a little while ago, making 26-year-old John Chyka their new general manager, but Dave Tippett gets a new role as well, new responsibility, so curious to see how that goes. We heard from Mark Giordano, the captain of the Calgary Flames, earlier on. That interview is available online. If you have not heard Mark Giordano with Pat Steinberg, I encourage you to go and check it out at your leisure. Are we still efforting, Will? Okay. Well, just going to try and hook up with our next guest. It's really kind of these are interesting times, are they not, in the hockey world? You got the playoffs going on, business off the ice. Also, the Western Hockey League awards yesterday. We told you about that. We want to take this opportunity as well to recognize the Calgary Hitmen have been busy. We'll get into that in a little while. Very pleased. This has been almost a year in making. We tried to hook up with our next guest in Florida last year at the draft because we wanted to talk about Austin Matthews and in town or recently at a Flames game. And we never connected, but we connected today. So we're very excited to have Mark Crawford on with us today. Mr. Crawford, how are you?
I'm doing very good. Yes, we have tried to get together a number of times. Great to finally have it come to fruition.
Oh, I appreciate that. Before we do anything, what I need to do is find out the real skinny on our friend Rob Cookson, because Cookie speaks really highly of you. I'm still looking for someone to speak highly of Rob. Are you a fan of Mr. Cookson's?
Yeah, Rob's done a remarkable job. You know, I've known Rob for a number of years. We worked together with the national team. And Rob was my assistant for the last 4 years, and I thought he took a huge step. You know, the biggest thing probably was working actually on the bench and being a bench coach with us in Zurich. It really helps change your perspective, I think, of players. He's always had the video gene. He's always had the assessment gene. He's always had the ability to break down the game quite well. But I think you put and add the piece of Rob being able to manage people in a game setting now. That's a big part of coaching. And to tell you the truth, it's probably the most fun part of coaching.
That's interesting that you go that direction, Mark, because, of course, we would always ask you about development, and I want to ask you about one of the young guys you worked with. But as a head coach, I guess in that case you're also acting as a mentor and a development for a guy coming onto the bench. That's not as easy as some would think, is it?
No, it's not. And I think that, you know, in this game, you're always learning. So that's a big part of what it is that that you do, or that I do. I mean, you want to keep trying to improve your own skills. You're always looking for new ideas, and you know, I guess in Rob's case, you're looking for new adventures, and you're looking for an ability to grow your own talents. And so, it is a big part of it. I've had some great mentors along the way. I've had some wonderful coaches that I've coached with, so I think I have a real good idea about the talent that coaches have, but I also have a good idea of what's necessary in the staff to make it go and how everything kind of works together.
Mark, tell me about, because when anybody talks about Auston Matthews, the first thing they get to is his choice to go play professional hockey rather than go to Everett in the Western Hockey League. You were his head coach this year. Tell me about your time with Auston Matthews.
Well, to start off, I'd say this. He had the opportunity to go three ways. He could go U.S. University. He had a number of schools going after him there. He, as you said, he could play in the Western Hockey League. Or, you know, he could come with us. And we told him right off the bat, we said, hey, you can't make a bad choice here, Auston. They're all good. They all have their strengths. They all have their positive issues. And they've all have maybe some drawbacks. At the end of the day, you have to do what's right for you. And I think that's probably the number one rule of recruiting. And in recruiting, you have to really make people comfortable with the choice that they're making. And I thought we did a great job of convincing Auston and his family that we would be able to give him a great program. First of all, we felt that we could give him the ability to play against men, and that he was going to be playing against men the upcoming season. Why not start it a year earlier? The second part was, you know, the practice situation that we had. We thought it was a great developmental area in Switzerland. We play basically 2.5 games a week, and you have lots of practice time. There is no problem with players being tired or fatigued, because our longest road trip was a 3-hour bus ride. So, you know, fatigue wasn't a part of it. And it's much like an American League schedule, probably a cross between an American League schedule and a U.S. college schedule. And on the other side of it, you know, we felt that, you know, with myself being there and we ran things like an NHL team, that he would benefit from practicing at the pace and the style that NHL clubs do. And all of those things considered, the facility that we have, they all played a part in it. And as I said at the start, you know, he couldn't make a bad decision, but you're selling the program, you're selling what's best for him, and we're very happy that he chose to come with us. It really was a shot in the arm for Swiss ice hockey, and I got to tell you, Rob, it was so fun having a talented player like him again. I've had some great ones, and he's right up there with all of them. Like, he is a talented, talented young man.
Tell me about working with him and what your plan was for him, Mark, because I'm not talking about the caliber of play. I'm just talking about the situation. It almost strikes me a little bit like an American Hockey League, you know, where you get the young player, you're going to develop him. You know he's not going to be part of your team for a long time. Your job's to really get him ready for the next level. Or am I misrepresenting what it was?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of that. And because we knew we were having him for the entire year, we really... zeroed in on what it was that we felt he needed in his game. And a big part of that is talking with the player, talking with the agent, and really getting them to build some ownership into what it is you're going to do. Austin's biggest need is to continue to learn to play the game when you're going to be playing against great players. And to tell you the truth, we thought he'd have a bit more of a difficult time in the Swiss League, but he came in right away, and where we thought he'd be a top six forward and work his way up to being a top three forward, and we thought he'd be good at the end of the year, he was a good player right away. And he took over games almost right away. So, again, you know, we really wanted him to practice and play like he was preparing to be in the NHL. So everything that we did was geared towards him learning actually how he had to play when he was in the NHL. So, you know, good players oftentimes, the big reason that they're good is they've got the puck all the time, and that is Austin Matthews. He's got the puck all the time. He's really good with the puck, carries speed through the neutral zone extremely well, protects the puck really well. His puck handling skills are off the chart good. I mean, he just, there's so many things that he does that you just go, wow, did I just see that? But the other part of it is because he's so good, he can pick the puck away from people. He sometimes gets on the wrong side of people, and you know that he's not going to get away with that at the next level. So we would constantly be reaffirming that that element in his game so that he'd learn the way that he needed to learn so that he'd be that much better when he's playing in the World Championship here starting tomorrow, when he starts to play in the NHL next year. There, everybody's good. Everybody protects the puck well, and you get on the wrong side of them, you're going to be in some trouble, even if you have a talent level like Austin Matthews.
In conversation with Mark Crawford, our guest here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Mark, tell me about your 4 years in Zurich. I mean, Austin Matthews was 1 year. What kind of teaching were you doing over there? What was the role of you know, a coach in that league with the type of players that you saw come through the door?
Well, first of all, you get back to coaching again, Rob. You know, that's probably the number one best byproduct for me. There was only Rob and myself, so you know I've been used to having staffs where you've got four and five assistant coaches, and you're managing, you know, the strength and conditioning guys, the equipment managers, the medical people. You're managing a staff as well as coaching, and there's a lot of elements to deviate your time. Well, there it's pure coaching again, so it's much like I was back in junior again, or I was back in the American League, and the purity of coaching comes back to you. And you know what? I really became good at it again, mainly because, you know, I was watching the video, I was doing our analytics, I was taking the scoring chances. You were having much more conversations with the individual players because, you know, the buck stopped with me, and there was only the two of us, Rob and myself, there. So from that standpoint, it's a great, great lesson, and it's a real good just good approach for me to have, to really be involved at the absolute proper level. And so from there, I think the other positive things is you're dealing with a different culture of player, and you know, obviously a different language as well, but they grow up differently. They grow up much differently than North Americans. Their hockey sense isn't as good. So you have to make sure that you're on top of things with them all the time. We had a very young team. We had five 18-year-olds in our lineup this year. So, you know, with young players, the rule is you've usually got to show them a lot more. You've got to point out their pluses and their minuses a lot more. And it was just real good for me to work with a different type of athlete. It really forced me to find better ways to give my messages, to find better ways to improve my message given. And then finally, this was something that I never, ever would have considered, never thought it was going to be a big part of why I enjoyed Europe so much. But over there, your imports, they're also your social group. So I was always good with my players in the NHL, but I never got close to them. Not that kind of close. I mean, We have the closeness with a lot of our import players where myself and my wife, we would babysit for these guys. So you get to know these people personally. And two things happen, Rob. You know, your relationship becomes stronger. They see you in a different light. They see you as the guy that plays with their son or their daughter. They see you as the guy that's got a couple of different layers. And from my standpoint, it was good because I think I never wanted to jeopardize the closeness. And I my message giving was probably better. It took a better edge. Or maybe I took a little bit of the edge off of my relationship with players. And it carried over to the Swiss players. So, you know, I thought that ended up probably being the biggest attribute that I got from coaching in Switzerland. I'm a better communicator now. And it's largely because of all those reasons. Doing it, secondly, doing it with a different style of player, and then making sure that I was taking a little bit of the edge off because I'm a little bit closer with the players and they're a little bit closer with me.
Mark, one last one for me. And I want to go back to part of that answer. You talked about analytics. That has certainly become a big, you know, part of the game here in the last couple of years. And I just assumed it would be, you know, kind of the NHL with the big money. You were doing analytics over there?
Well, yeah, we didn't do it on as large a scale, but yes, we did. We did exits, we did entries. You know, we did shots of all kinds: shots attempts, shots score, shots made, goals, all that sort of thing. We did a lot of puck recovery. And puck battle analytics. We did weighted scoring chances as well. So, you know, when you're actually doing it, nothing gets lost in the translation. And it's time-consuming, but you really get to know your team well. And that's, to me, that's the value of analytics. You have to have the information that you're gathering be useful. And I thought it was really useful. We really could get an idea on what players were doing when they were moving the puck out of the zone, which guys were hanging on to the puck and making plays, which guys were just dumping pucks, which guys weren't completing passes, that sort of thing. Same thing entering the zone. You know, it's always the bottom line in analytics is people talk about possession. Well, you want to continue to have possession, but it's how do you get it? How do you maintain it? How do you utilize the puck when you've got it? Those are the things that you get the answers for. Same thing with shots and zone entries and zone starts and things like that. That really dictates a little bit of your possession numbers. But it was a good education for us. And I started looking at players a little bit differently because now you're really watching them that much closer. So, again, it's all in the eyes of the user. It has to be useful information. I think it can be very useful information in talking with your players, because it's just another resource. You know, you have to be able to give them good information, and the analytics information sometimes is, it really piques their interest, and it gets them maybe to work at stuff a little bit more.
Well, it's taken a while for us to have this conversation, but damn, I'm glad we had it. Mark, thank you for this. Looking forward to seeing Austin Matthews in the NHL next year. I look forward to seeing you back in the NHL next year. Thanks for spending some time with us.
All right, he's a good one. People will really like him. Those Toronto people got luck.
Well, they don't say that very often. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah. Okay.
Mark Crawford joining us this afternoon here on The Big Show. Want to thank him, Rob Cookson as well. And there you go, a little insight on Austin Matthews, a little insight on Mark Crawford. He's an interesting guy, isn't he? Because his resume, Stanley Cup champion, taking a break, gone away. You heard right there. I'd be interested in talking to him. Why not? Cassie Campbell-Pascal. I'm interested in talking to Cassie Campbell-Pascal. Why not? Murray Sickler is going to join us down the line. Cassie, right around the corner. We are at South Street Burger Company here at 17th Avenue Southeast, right on Stony Trail. It's right in this brand-new power center. Come on in. Say hello today. Grab a burger on your way home. Grab a beer. Sit down. Cinco de Mayo, you grab a Corona. Just one, though. Just one. Don't want anybody drinking or driving. None of that. But all the sales today will be matched by South Street Burger Company, and a donation in kind will be made to the Red Cross to help with relief efforts in Fort McMurray. We'll take a break. Come back with Cassie Campbell-Pascal next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Calgary Flames, your team. Anything they do on or off the ice is here first. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. When It's hockey. It's on the Big Show. Steinberg, Kerr, Sportsnet 960, Calgary.
Well, always a pleasure to spend some time with our friend Cassie Campbell-Pascal of Sportsnet and of hockey fame. Hey, since I got you, I'm gonna kind of blindside you. The finalists are out for the Jack Adams Trophy. Barry Trotz of the Capitals, Lindy Ruff of the Stars, and Gerard Gallant of the Florida Panthers. Who do you got?
Gerard Gallant, PEI boy. I have to go with him.
Oh, you do?
All three good choices, but I think that Florida is a pretty big surprise. I think he did a great job there.
Yeah, I do too, although the recent history of that award does not bode well, does it? And you know, I'll dig myself my own hole here, Cassie. I made a case, and I thought a very competent case, a couple of weeks ago for Bruce Boudreau because of the job he did in turning that team around mid-season. They were so good after Christmas. What do I know?
Well, and maybe the GM of the Year candidate comes out there too, right, for not firing him when many people probably would have pulled the trigger earlier in the year. And poor Bruce Boudreau. I mean, I know he's probably going to get a job here quickly, but, man, if he could ever win a Game 7, I think that guy would probably have three Stanley Cups by now.
Oh, it's a reminder of how much of this is a business and how harsh this business can be, right? But then again, you know, he's fired, and 4 days later, he's being courted. So he'll land on his feet. I'm pretty comfortable there.
Yeah, I think so. And what a great man, as you know. And as we know, it hit close to home, the firing here. And Bob Hartley, another great man. And not just great men, but their families, you know. It hits everybody. And I had a chance to meet Bob's wife and Jacques' wife. And just wonderful people and so much fun. And it's just, you know, it's funny. How many people in hockey have you heard getting fired that are bad people? Like, you know, maybe one or two, but, you know, of all of our time in this business, you don't fire, you know, bad people. It's good people, unfortunately, that get fired, and it's all about wins and losses and consistency, and it's a tough business for sure.
Cassie, I want to talk some hockey with you, but first I want you to come on and talk about something, because we've got a press release here about Don't Change Much, and it's a men's health initiative. And what I found fascinating is the list of people that are acting as voices in this. I think there's lots of very familiar names. Shea Emery, of course, from the CFL. Jim Houston, Alain Vigneault, Trevor Linden, Simon Whitfield, Brendan Shanahan, and Cassie Campbell-Pascal. You're kind
girl.
Of a little different than the rest of that group. Yeah.
And some girl. You know, it's funny. When they first asked me, I'm like, why is the Men's Health Foundation asking me? And I sort of hummed and hawed. And then I went on don'tchangemuch.ca, and I immediately thought of my husband, and I thought of my father, and I thought of my two brothers, my real brother and my stepbrother, and I was like, this website is amazing, and there was recipes and tips, and I was kind of learning about men's health, you know, just by going to this website for the first time, and then I kind of thought, well, it's kind of a thrill for them to think of me as part of this group. And I sort of hummed and hawed about saying yes or no. And honestly, I learned a ton just by opening the website for my first 20 minutes. And I've been on it about 100 times since. And for me, you know, I've sent my husband on it. There's just so many great tips about not just health for men, but I think health for everyone. And for me, I was really surprised, though, when I learned that a lot of the health issues for men, 70% of them, could have been dealt with ahead of time if they'd just gone to the doctor, or they, you know, just changed their lifestyle ever so slightly, whether it was eating or what they were drinking or those types of things. And I think, you know, it became an easy yes for me the more and more I went onto the website and did my research.
You know, it strikes me as being some of the most brilliant strategy ever, because, you know, us men, we tend not to do these things on our own, but our better halves tend to be a very good influence. So I think it was a stroke of genius to have you involved in this campaign.
Well, one of my favorite things, and one thing people might not know about my husband, is he's actually a really good cook. But, of course, with his job with the Flames, he hasn't really had the time that he used to have. But honestly, one of the best things he ever does for our family is just come home one night, and I usually do the groceries and I usually clean up, but he'll get this opportunity to cook. And, you know, not many men can do that, but I think you look at this website, and guys, you could be a hero for a night or a week. If you showed up one night with groceries and one of the recipes, there's a salmon barbecue recipe, there's just some healthy little things. There's some shake recipes. You can make shakes with your partners and wives, girlfriends, whoever it is, and just little things that, you know, help your health, obviously. But I think it helps the family's health as well. And, you know, I was kind of shocked, too, about, you know, that usually it is the woman who sort of says, hey, you should probably go to the dentist, you should probably go to the doctor, you should probably get things checked. And, you know, so it just kind of takes a little bit of stress off the woman in the family role as well. And I think it puts a little bit of onus on the men that, you know, it's okay to be strong and it's okay to think that you're invincible. I think everyone kind of goes through that. But just the importance of, you know, especially 40 plus, you know, you really got to go and get things checked. And it's got to become part of your schedule and your yearly schedule. And, you know, just the subtle changes you can make. And by going to don'tchangemuch.ca, it's not as daunting. If you go to that website, I think for a lot of men, they'll feel like it's not as daunting as maybe it seems to take care of your health.
Don'tchangemuch.ca. I tweeted out the link. I encourage everybody to take a look at it. We'll come back and finish off with that. But if you don't mind, Cassie Campbell-Pascal is our guest from Sportsnet. Let's talk a little hockey. Get to the NHL playoffs in a second. I'm about, a month and a bit behind on this. But your thought, the Calgary Inferno capturing the Clarkson Cup.
Yeah, it was amazing. And, you know, obviously Sportsnet got to cover it and I was there. And, you know, just a really big deal for the organization. It's the only Western organization and hadn't had the opportunity to win it before. And, you know, you think of the players like a Jenna Cunningham who's been there since day one and a person like Samantha Holmes who's been, you know, and been there since day one. And you think of the Edmonton Chimos that were led by Shirley Cam. You know, that was really the foundation of women's hockey in Alberta. And, you know, eventually they agreed to fold that organization to make the team stronger in Calgary and to make it, you know, benefit women's hockey in a positive way. So just so many behind-the-scenes stories about why that this championship, you know, for the Calgary Inferno was so special and always nice for the organization to get their first one. And you know, you look at Haley Wickenheiser, part of that, and you know, what she's done in women's hockey and the fact that now she can have her name on the Clarkson Cup. And just there was just a lot of fun covering that Clarkson Cup for sure.
It's been an interesting second round of the playoffs. You probably have heard that old, you know, NHL line that the first round is the most exciting. This is one of those years, Cassie, where I think the second round has carried some of the momentum from the first round. And this has been a really good second round, too, overall.
Yeah, it's been tough. You know, obviously, you know, with no Canadian teams, it's sort of been tough for Rogers and Sportsnet. But I think truly for the genuine hockey fan, it's been tremendous hockey. And I think one of the best playoffs I've ever witnessed. And, you know, I got to cover that San Jose-LA series. And even though it ended in Game 5, I mean, the hockey night after night was tremendous. And, you know, I love watching a team like Nashville, an organization like Nashville, you know, start to kind of really mean business, I guess, if you will, and St. Louis kind of getting over the hump of beating Chicago, and then this whole Pittsburgh-Washington series, you know, the Ovechkin-Crosby thing.
Yeah.
It's a shame that some of these storylines aren't Canadian, because I think a lot more people will be watching, but it's truly been tremendous hockey, and I think it'll continue to be like that right until the end.
Is that the Washington-Pittsburgh series is the one we've kind of focused on today, because now you have the President's Trophy winning Caps on the brink. Surprised by that? I mean, Pittsburgh's been really good since Mike Sullivan's taken over, but I really, and it still may go seven, but I didn't think anybody was going to grab a hold like Pittsburgh has, and I think a lot of it has to do with Matt Murray.
Yeah, I think they've been getting outstanding goaltending, and I think, you know, everyone sort of sees Matt Murray's been a goaltender that a lot of organizations have inquired about, and now we're all finally seeing why. And you know, I think for Washington, though, I don't count them out. I covered them last year when they lost to the Rangers in seven, and they were up 3-1. And I was around the room after that loss, and I just really got a sense, okay, this was it. This was the final lesson that we really needed to learn. And, you know, I think the addition of Justin Williams alone, I think, you know, you really can't count this team out. You think of the LA Kings and what they were able to do, being down 3-0 to San Jose when he was on that team, and they come back and win that in seven, and then they go on and win the cup. I mean, I think this series is really far from over, and I truly believe that Washington, they're in tough. I think Pittsburgh's a great team, but I truly think Washington has what it takes this time around, maybe something they haven't had before, to be able to have the belief in the system and what Barry Trotz has done, and to be able to have sort of the belief in this group that this is their time, and I think that's something that they've never really had before.
Cass, you're the best. Once again, we want everybody to check out don'tchangemuch.ca. And as much as this is about men's health, I think you're making a compelling case that this is really about everybody. This is the wives and the girlfriends as well.
Yeah, honestly, it's amazing to be part of it, and I'm learning a lot about it. And we all kind of think, men and women, we all kind of think we're invincible, and we're not. And especially as we get older, and, you know, for my husband and I, we travel a lot, and it's easy to eat poorly, but there's some real small changes you can make by going to this website, honestly, don'tchangemuch.ca, and you can really improve your health, and it's really important for all of us just to take advantage of it.
When are you going to come in studio for a bit? I'm putting
you
on the spot now. All right.
No, well, honestly, I'm home. I'm a full-time mom right now, and I'm loving every minute of it. But anytime you want me in studio, Rob, like, honestly, you're the best, so I'll be there in a flash.
All right. Well, we'll get you in real soon. Cass, thanks for doing this. Congratulations on this initiative. And again, we want everybody to go to don'tchangemuch.ca, and we can make a difference. Thanks, my friend.
Okay. Cheers, Rob.
Cassie Campbell-Pascal, one of my favorites, one of our favorites. We'll get her in studio. And again, don'tchangemuch.ca. We all, you know, we can all do a lot by taking care of ourselves. It goes without saying. Live from South Street Burger Company, 17th Avenue Southeast in Stony Trail. It's not hard to find once you get here. It's brand new. It's still got that new burgers restaurant smell. I was going to say new car smell, but that's tomorrow's show. New burger smell. That's what it's got. When we come back, always a pleasure to, and I, he's the most amazing guy. All he had to do was pick up a phone. Nope, not good enough. Murray Sigler's here, live with us, and I'm excited about it. The executive director and CEO of Sport Calgary. I knew him from there. I didn't know he was a writer, but he took to our newspaper yesterday, and we'll tell you why around the corner. Don't forget, Jay's coming up top of the hour, and after that, we'll take you to Nashville and San Jose here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Proud to call Calgary home, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Loud and proud. Calgary Sports. Rob Kerr is on Sportsnet 960.
Well, I want to say about 3 months ago, probably January, our next guest joined us live in the Hot Stove Lounge as he took over the role as the CEO and executive director of Sport Calgary. And Murray Sigler was kind enough to come in and spend a couple of segments with us. And we bumped into Murray a couple times, but he didn't waste much time getting himself involved in the issues. And yesterday, if you opened up the Calgary Herald, you would have read an op-ed piece authored by Mr. Sigler about the need for a field house. And, Maria, man, again, you very easily could have done this over the phone, so I really appreciate you taking the effort to coming and saying hello to us today. Let's jump right into it. Why the op-ed? Why was it important for you to get the message out?
Well, we think this is really to the core of quality of life for Calgarians, the need for amateur sport, and for all Calgarians to have a place where hundreds of thousands of kids and parents and amateur athletes can compete and participate on a year-round basis. It's something Calgary's been sorely lacking.
Right.
It's needed. So whatever the outcome of the questions about Calgary Next and any alternatives, there's just one clear point we're trying to make, is that Calgary is desperately needs this facility, and we should all be in agreement in that. And Rob, I just want to say, as important as this issue is, all of Calgary's sporting community and athletes are totally touched by what's going on in Fort McMurray, and one reason I wanted to be here today is just to let you know, on behalf of hundreds of thousands of Calgarians in sport, they're all touched by this. They appreciate the work the whole Rogers team's doing, your whole colleagues, Cassie included.
Yep.
All they do, including Brian and the gang here. It's so important. Guys at Winsport are having an event tomorrow. It's just amazing. Calgarians, all parents, all families are touched. So it's a much more important issue than, you know, the field house, but we don't want to lose that.
No, and okay, so let me put the field house aside for a second, and let's go down that path, because we know that the current situation is a wildfire. At some point, that eventually gets extinguished. We know that. And then the rebuild comes. And part of living in a community is not just having a job and not just having a roof over your head. It's being part of a community, sporting teams and development and those types of things. There's going to be a lot of asks out there. Murray, is Sport Calgary or the athletes of the sports in this city, or are we ready to prepare to assist our friends and our neighbors up in Fort McMurray?
Just absolutely, and the Calgarians are already doing so.
Yep.
so many Calgarians are touched by Fort McMurray in their lives.
Sure.
And not just through sport, but through their business. But at the end of the day, beginning of the day, it's a quality of life issue. Sport infrastructure is important.
Yep.
The rebuild of Fort McMurray, Fort McMurray's got tremendous sport facilities.
Yep.
We got to make sure that continues. We got to make sure people that are relocated right today to Calgary from Fort McMurray are able to access Calgary sport facilities. We welcome that. All the Calgary sport organizations do so. If we move forward for Calgary itself, that's why we think Fieldhouse is important. Hundreds of thousands of Calgarians require it for life,
yeah.
for healthy living, for their kids, for their whole families. It's not about the elite athletes, professional athletes. It's about all levels of competition, and it's great for the community. And it's all about health and fitness and quality of life and kids and families. That's why, I guess, at Sport Calgary, we're motivated right now to keep that issue alive and to make sure it doesn't get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, and one more on this particular topic. We'll get back to the op-ed piece in a second. Is really impressed upon me in our last visit that I think sometimes I get focused or we get focused on minor sports and then pro sports. We sometimes fail to recognize the requirement for the recreational person, the senior, whoever, however you want to describe them, but the non-club team player who just wants to go and run, who wants to just go play some tennis, who wants to just go and do some lawn bowling or whatever. Sport impacts our lives, and in this case, is also a stress release. You know what I mean? For people in Fort McMurray that are going through all of this, if you say they're relocated or whatever, just the ability to go out and do something and forget about their trouble for a while.
Absolutely. That's the health impact of sport, and that's recreation. It doesn't have to be organized sport. It can be and should be recreational sport.
Right.
We estimate like more than 400,000 Calgarians are actively involved in organized sport. So through their families, their children, their grandchildren, themselves. That's what we're talking about here.
Right.
It's totally quality of life and fitness.
In conversation with our guest, Murray Sigler, the CEO, Executive Director of Sport Calgary. Okay, we transition back to the article that was written yesterday, your op-ed piece in the Calgary Herald. Let me, rather than have you just reread it, let me ask a couple of questions based off of it. From Sport Calgary's perspective, are you okay with the Fieldhouse as part of the Calgary Next conversation, or are you advocating taking it out and just let's deal with that, you know, Calgary Next and what the Flames and the Calgary Sports Entertainment Corporation's requirements are, they can deal with that, but you don't want the Fieldhouse involved in it? How should we describe your position?
Well, first of all, it starts with that Fieldhouse being required, whatever the location.
Yeah.
Without the Flames and without Calgary Next, we wouldn't be having this discussion right now.
Right.
They've put the subject on the table for discussion in terms of trying to accelerate the Fieldhouse being built. Along the way, Sport Calgary, on behalf of our membership, asked the Flames a number of very difficult questions, we thought, regarding the Calgary Next proposal
right.
in terms of affordability, making sure there's access. If there's public funds involved in anything, there must be public benefit. So we're looking for public benefit, for accessibility. Calgary Next proponents, the Flames, were very prudent in answering us.
So you're happy with the answers you got on those questions?
They provided great answers. We're subject to some confidentiality agreement.
100%.
And that's going to take place. At the same time, there is now, it appears, a Plan B emerging. And that yet to be determined. But the Plan B seems to be the elements of not having a co-located facility in West Village.
Mm-hmm.
Is looking at breaking out the entertainment center for the Flames, the arena come entertainment center,
yep.
going back to the standalone Fieldhouse model up by the university. We want to take a look at that too. When the City Hall came out with its report a few weeks back, we said, we hope there's a collaborative dialogue that takes place that's fact-based, not emotionally based. We want to be part of that dialogue. We're pleased that that's the process that's now unfolding. We're pleased that when City Council and City Administration ask the right questions,
mm-hmm.
people are providing the right answers. So we're hoping this dialogue will carry out over the next few months. That'll lead to an actual decision, and the funding requirement for a field house will be part of that. But one test we want to put to, whether it's A, B, or if a C emerges, is that those tests that we put forward in terms of affordability and so on are met, and that there's a financing plan attached to them. And if it's public financing, there's must be a public benefit. So we're trying to advance a public lens on behalf of Calgarians to the whole process. We're trying to do it on a fact-based, objective basis, because I think all the parties to this discussion should be having a very objective, fact-based discussion, and that'll lead to the best decision, and all Calgarians will be the better for it.
Two more questions for you, Murray. One is, I know enough to know in the media that the author doesn't often write the headline, and the headline is, why Calgary needs a field house now. And now would suggest that timeline would be an issue. We all have a feeling that there needs to be a public, we just talked about it, a public discussion. You know, conservative estimates, once they put a shovel in the ground, 3 to 4 years, it looks like, from my vantage point, we're not talking about an opening till at least 2019, 2020 at the earliest. Can you live with that?
I think that may emerge as the most practical and only solution, but we definitely have the need now.
Right.
The need has been identified by City Council as far back as 2010, 2012, studies over the years. It's been reaffirmed last Monday when Council had its debate. There's no question it's needed now. There's no question a decision is needed now with a funding plan. There's also a practicality that emerges that there's going to be a timeline involved with the build. Mm. And we just say, get on with it, make the decision. Or 10 years from now, it'll still be the top priority, absolutely, but still unfunded.
My final one for you, Murray, and it's a question that I asked Perry Cavanaugh from your organization as well, and I'll ask you, one enough? I mean, there's one in the Calgary Next proposal, but, you know, there are other cities, and I think one in this province that has more than one. You know, if one is part of Calgary Next, should we not be still looking to build other field houses, or is one going to do it?
No, Calgary needs more than one field house. There's no question on that.
Okay.
But one is a starting point, and we'll take it from there. But let's have one. Kamloops has one. Regina, Saskatoon have one. Edmonton has two.
Yep.
Calgary has zero. And we're beyond that as a city. We need at least one. We definitely need more than one.
Murray, I really appreciate this. Really appreciate the work that Sport Calgary does. We encourage people to go to your website and check it out, or go to the Calgary Herald and read the op-ed piece from yesterday. I appreciate your enthusiasm. I appreciate your board's enthusiasm on this project. And quite frankly, I'm happy to have it. I'm happy that we're having the conversation. I think it can't just be the city, and it can't just be the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation. We as Calgarians need to be involved, and I know that's who you represent. So of that, I'm very appreciative, and I also appreciate the fact that you took some time to recognize that we're all going to have a role to play in the rebuild of Fort McMurray, and that includes us in the world of sport, I think.
Well, on behalf of everybody in the sport community, thanks again to you and your colleagues and everybody here today.
Thanks, Murray.
Thanks.
Murray Sigler joining us from Sport Calgary. Well, that'll do it. What a busy, busy afternoon it was. Thanks to everybody involved. Most importantly, thanks to Brian and his staff here at Southside Burger Company, 17th Avenue Southeast and Stony Trail. Brand new location. Come on down. Any purchase today will be matched by the guys here and will be donated in kind to the Red Cross for their relief efforts up in Fort McMurray. Thanks to all of our guests, including Mark Giordano, the captain of the Calgary Flames, Dan Schulman from ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, and, well, Sportsnet's Jay's coverage. As a matter of fact, I think he's working on the game right now. Chris Johnson from Sportsnet joined us. Mark Crawford, formerly of the Zurich Lions, the Austin Matthews head coach last year, now a guy that's a candidate, I would suggest, for an NHL opening around the National Hockey League, and Cassie Campbell-Pascal, who came on and just reminded us guys, us men and the women in our life, check out the website, don'tchangemuch.ca, a great men's health initiative. Tomorrow, you're going to catch us at Woodridge Ford, one of our drop-off locations for used sporting goods for Comrie Sports Equipment Bank, and of course, Kidsport will distribute that. Coming up next, we'll join the Jays and the Texas Rangers in progress. Toronto out in front in the bottom of the third by a 5-1 score. After that, off to Nashville we go. Game 4 between the Sharks and the Predators. Did you get all of that? There will be a test. I'm Rob Kerr, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.